Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and welcome to this edition of Real Science Friday with Fred Williams, the webmaster of evolutionfairytale.com. Fred, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
It's great to be back, Bob.
And so here we are on a Real Science Friday show. This is going to be fun because we're going to go through this Creation Magazine, the latest edition. These stories are so phenomenal. Fred, do you get excited when you read these creation stories?
Oh, they're great, Bob, and they're great evangelism tools, too. We'll talk about that later, but it's a fantastic magazine. I look forward to going through some of the articles.
Yeah, well, let's dig right in with, I like the articles that are hardcore science, and there is one about an island, a brand new island that was created off the coast of Iceland.
It's a 44-year-old island, essentially. And, I mean, the thing's got fully rounded boulders, and it's got a full ecological system, functional ecosystem.
Right.
And this all happened in 44 years.
44 years. And not only 44 years, but back in the 1960s when geologists first went there, they were astonished at what they found. And so there's a couple of quotes in this article, because these things are supposed to happen over millions of years.
That's right. And, you know, if you were an evolutionist and you woke up from a coma, you'd look at this island and go, oh, look, this thing was took millions and millions of years to form.
Right.
Well, one of the scientists who studied this, who's an evolutionist, said this about it. The island has excited geographers who marvel that canyons, gullies, and other land features that typically take tens of thousands or millions of years to form were created in less than a decade.
A decade. And this is in the New Scientist, which is an evolutionary science journal from 2006. So this is a pretty new quote. And he's saying geologists would marvel that these things usually take millions of years and they were created in less than a decade. And that's from 2006. But you go back to the original quotes of the geologists who were astonished. Back in the 1960s, 1963, an island was born off the coast of Iceland. And one of the geologists wrote, and this is a guy who wrote a book on this. His name is Thorarinson. He must be an Icelander. And he wrote a book on it, and then he was quoted in National Geographic. But he wrote, on this island of Surtsey, only a few months sufficed for a landscape to be created which was so varied and mature that it was almost beyond belief. They thought it takes millions of years to carve these surface features that we know happen rapidly.
There are so many geological evidences we have around the world that show that things can happen very rapidly. It reminds me of what, Bob? Mount St. Helens that erupted about 28 years ago. Same thing happened there. Within a matter of minutes, not even days and weeks, matter of minutes, a massive mud flow created a canyon.
A canyon about system.
A canyon system. Canyon walls about 100 feet high that, again, if an evolutionist saw that not knowing what had actually happened, he would think that, oh, look at these layers of sediment, and this layer is a million years, and another million years of sediment, another million years of layers. Yeah, this all happened very rapidly.
Yeah, and there at Mount St. Helens, they got this Engineers Canyon, which is a massive canyon, and there's a river running through it. And the geologist would say, well, that river over millions of years carved this canyon.
And that's what it says in high school textbooks about the Grand Canyon. Pebble by pebble, it carved it out.
Which is, of course, false. We know false. For example, the side canyons, where did they come from? And the whole bit. But with Engineers Canyon, the river didn't cause the canyon. There was no river. The canyon caused the river, which is so cool. And it also reminds me, you and I have talked about the Heart Mountain Detachment up near Yellowstone, where this massive mountain broke into pieces like 100 miles apart. And they would say, oh, it took millions of years for the Heart Mountain Detachment. And now they say, well, it took about 90 minutes. You know, it was just this high-speed cataclysmic event, which happens. And here with this Surtsey Island off the coast of Iceland, they're startled. They're just absolutely startled. And, for example, why are they startled? Because within like you're saying, not thousands of years, millions, but within months and years, and maybe a decade or less, here's what they find. Wide sandy beaches. That's fun, isn't it? Gravel banks, impressive cliffs, soft undulating land, fault scarps, gullies, channels. They got photographs in here, and you look at these photos. And I have a friend who's a young earth creationist, but he says all these geologists, and he does oil exploration, he says the geologists all say it had to take millions of years. And he said when you look at it, it looks like it'd be millions of years old. I said, yeah, but Art, his name is Art, what do millions of years look like? And so these photographs, you look at them and like, wow, that stuff is millions of years old. It's not. They have photographs of it forming, and they have boulders worn by the surf. This is interesting. Boulders worn by the surf, some of which were almost round, on an abrasion platform cut into the cliff. And all of this, despite the extreme youth of the island, the geologists were stunned. They were absolutely stunned.
Yeah, this rapid erosion really is good evidence that the Earth is young. And,
yeah.
You know, if you get the magazine, you get to see these great pictures of what happened at this island.
That's right. And Creation Magazine, of course, you could go online and subscribe to it, creationontheweb.com. Or to help Bob and Art Live and Real Science Friday stay on the air, we will give you a gift subscription. Well, not really give you. It's sort of like a trade. If you purchase our science pack for $100, the BEL science pack, we have fabulous DVDs, science books, and debates on the age of the earth. Then we will give you a gift subscription. We'll go do the work and talk to the creation guys down in Australia and sign you up. Or if you donate $50 or more to Bob and Yurt Live, it's a non-deductible gift to Bob and Yurt Live, then we'll also give you a gift subscription to Creation Magazine, which, by the way, is a quarterly, but it is filled. It's an entire color, four-color magazine. Every page is just a work of art. And so, Fred, at the end of this article on this island of Surtsey, they make the point that skeptics try to counter the Bible's history, saying that the Earth's geological features need millions of years. And here we have Surtsey, the Heart Mountain Detachment. We have, you said, Mount St. Helens. They demonstrate that the skeptics are wrong.
Exactly. In fact, there's a growing number of evolutionists that are called neocatastrophists. They admit now that a lot of these formations we see across the globe were formed rapidly. They don't want to admit to a global flood, though, because that would confirm an account in the Bible. But they'll admit to all these local floods that occurred over millions of years.
Yeah, and things that even the Scablands in, where is that, in Oregon or Washington, they said that originally it took millions of years. And there was one geologist about 40 years ago said, no, or I forget how long ago he worked, but no, it had to happen rapidly. It was a flood. And now, you know, National Geographic, everybody, the whole geological world admits the Scablands formed rapidly as a result of a flood. And not Noah's flood. This was a post-flood event, but it was rapid. It happened in hours, not in millions of years.
Exactly. And it kind of cracks me up how they'll look at Mars and they'll see geological formations and conclude that, hey, there was a global flood on Mars. But since that's not in the Bible, they feel safe to say that.
Right. Yeah, Mars, where there's no water that we can find virtually. And they said Mars was once covered by water. And the Earth, which is two-thirds covered with water, a mile deep. And they said, oh, there could never have been a global flood
on
the Earth.
And they also, remember, Bob, they also say that global warming occurred on Mars, too. So we were wondering if some of our NASA guys were driving around their SUVs up on Mars.
Right. There has been global warming on Mars that NASA has discovered over the last couple of years. And it must be the SUVs. There's at least two Mars rovers, aren't there?
Yeah, at least two of them.
But they're solar powered. The yuppies, they're all in a mess. So it turns out global warming is caused by
the sun.
The sun. Very good. I like that answer. Okay, so now, Fred, they have a letters to the editor section, a feedback section, and some of these letters have to do with what we just talked about on this island of Surtsey, that it looks like it's millions of years old, but it was rapid. We got it on videotape, the formation of that island, literally. So the very first letter to the editor is from Somerset, England. the Sarah gal. What was her point?
Well, Sarah wrote in about her garden. She has a bird bath, and some stalactites were growing on it. So I guess we must conclude, Bob, that bird bath is millions of years old. I don't know how else to explain that bird bath.
Wait, because there's stalactites growing on her bird bath, and she included a photo with the letter, and so you could see the stalactites. And I recall as a kid going to Hell's Cavern in New York State. It's a fabulous cavern, far underground. You get in a boat. You're on a boat ride under the ground. It's so great. But anyway, there's stalactites. And they say, well, these take 10,000 years, 1,000 years per inch, whatever. And same thing at Carlsbad Cavern in New Mexico. Have you been there?
Yes, I have. And they had the signs way back when I was there. From what I understand, they're removed now.
Yeah, those signs are gone. I went there recently. The signs said things like, these took 200 million years. Then it took 6 million years. Now the signs are gone because creationists have been documenting all over the world. So we say, well, if you got them in tunnels all over the world and they form in months and years, why does it take millions of years in a cave? Really. So what they say at Carlsbad Cavern now, the official tour, is what is the rate of growth? And they say the answer is it depends on how much water is available to carry the minerals. And that's just perfect, because at one time, there was a lot of water over New Mexico.
Exactly.
Yeah, so. That's really exciting. Okay, so the next letter to the editor is from a Duncan Sinclair in Queensland, Australia. The editors respond to his letter, and they quote this article they had about the eroding cliffs, the Joggins Cliffs in Nova Scotia, in the Canadian province way out east there in the Atlantic. And they point out, let me quote from that article. They wrote, if the cliffs have been eroding at 1 meter every 6 years since the end of the Cretaceous period, more than 10,000 kilometers of coastline would have eroded away. And that just doesn't work.
They'd made the same mistake with Niagara Falls. Remember Lyell, when he was tried to use that as an evidence that the earth
was geologist Lyell?
Exactly. And it turned out that his measurements were wrong, and that Niagara Falls, if anything, is evidence for a young earth because of the rate it's eroding. If we were to use the constant rate, there shouldn't be a Niagara Falls. It should be long gone.
He wrote it like 100 miles away.
That's right. It should be all gone and then back out into the Atlantic.
Right. And so, and even river deltas, like the major river deltas in the world, like the Amazon, the Nile, the Mississippi, they are evidence that water has not been carrying minerals off the continents for millions of years. That has not been happening. And so we have basically young river deltas around the world.
And the evolutionists then will ironically claim, well, it was because there was different rates of erosion.
Yeah.
So they pick and choose when they want the erosion rates to be constant, when they want them to be...
Yeah, but how could there be no erosion for millions of years?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You'd have to have almost... What? It didn't rain for millions of years, so then how did the land animals survive if it didn't rain for millions of years?
Yeah, that's a long drought.
That water system that's described in the Bible like 4,000 years ago... of the evaporation, and they say, how does it rain? Why don't the clouds run out of water? You have a water system.
It's interesting. The Bible actually gets the hydrological system accurate, mm-hmm. the way it describes how waters basically come from the ocean and then return there.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a site, Bob, called BibleEvidences.com, and you can go there and read about some of the scientific things that the Bible talks about, and that's one of them is a water cycle that gets completely accurate.
Yeah, that's so cool. And then there's a scientist who lives in Arvada, Colorado, and that's where Bob and Yurt Live comes from, Arvada, Colorado. And his name is Dr. Ed Holroyd, and he has a letter to the editor in this Creation magazine, which is published out of Australia. And that's one thing I love about this magazine. It has a really global impact. Readers, scientists from all over the world making contributions to creation science. And he points out that the standard reference for all the world's bird species is called the Clements Checklist of Birds of the World. And Dr. Ed Holroyd made 500 suggestions to the author after the first edition, and his name appears in the acknowledgments in the second edition. And there are thousands of species of birds, but really only a handful of families. In fact, about, let me get this right, 203 families of birds. And just like with horses and zebras, maybe we could talk about later, Noah didn't have to bring a million species on the ark.
No, he didn't. In fact, that's probably the most common straw man argument I hear, Bob, whenever I'm in either debates or a presentation you get from skeptics, is that how did Noah get all those millions of animals on the ark? Well, he didn't have to take millions of species of animals. Species is a man-made term, and it really, you can get speciation just by population separating and developing different mating habits. That happens to, for example, rabbits. But we know that rabbits are still rabbits, and they'll interbreed given enough time. So Noah didn't need to take all the hundreds of rabbit species onto the ark. He only needed one rabbit kind.
Same thing with canines.
Canines, like yeah. And there's an article in this magazine that talks about the zebra and the horse could actually interbreed, and it's called a what, Bob?
A zorse.
A zorse.
Of course.
And what's interesting about that I didn't know, that when they interbreed, over time they lose the ability, they actually lose their stripes.
Hmm.
So I guess zebras can never really gain their stripes in the world.
Yeah, right.
So anyway,
it turns out that the story of the global flood, when you look around the world, you find that there's sedimentary layers on continents all over the world, on average about a mile deep. And what's in those sedimentary layers? Billions, trillions of dead things laid down by water violently and fossilized. And so that's so cool. There's evidence.
Oh, tons of it.
And after Moses wrote that in Genesis, that the world, the mountains were covered by water, then he, for the rest of his life, he went to the tops of all the mountain ranges and he buried seashells. Just so he could trick people into believing that the mountains were actually underwater, which they were, of course.
Yeah, so what Bob's alluding to is we find clams and other types of sea life fossilized on our mountain ranges.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen if evolution is true? That's evidence of some kind of global water disaster in the past.
Yeah.
Powerful evidence. Yet, science teachers in the high schools are teaching our kids that there's no evidence for a global flood. You hear it in the news.
Right.
Anywhere you go with an evolution, but there's no evidence for a global flood.
Global flood on Mars.
Yeah, but
newsflash from NASA.
Exactly, but no evidence for global flood here. And yet there is tons of evidence for it. And this is, Bob just talked about one. We find that, you know, sea life, not only on mountains, but you find them in your backyard. You can find them in the rocks at Home Depot. You can find marine life easily.
Right. That's so cool. Now, Leicestershire, England, there's another letter to the editor that came with photos, and I just love this. Students at a Christian school in Northern Ireland, they realize they're young earth creationists. They realize that tourists are going to their town, Leicestershire, to go into the caves where there are these awesome stalactites and stalagmites. They're just, you know, huge, interesting shapes. And so what the Christian students did was they created full-color brochures, tourist brochures, and they hand them out to the tourist, and this is just wonderful. They have photos of the brochures. For one, they're totally professional looking. That's what a kid with a Photoshop is, a dangerous thing. A kid with Photoshop. But this brochure, stalactites and stalagmites, how can we prove that it didn't take millions of years to create them? And it says, makes you think. And then you open it up, and they show the amazing stone bears of Yorkshire. And these are stone bears that are basically fossilized. They look fossilized. They're teddy bears that people put in these caves, and the stalactites and stalagmites, the water goes through them, they mineralize. They turn into stone.
That's right. They fossilize rapidly. Imagine that.
Yeah, that is just so great. And, in fact, somebody put in Answers in Genesis, you know, Ken Ham's ministry with the Creation Museum in Kentucky. Somebody put an AIG cap, a hat, in this cave, and now it's fossilized.
Well, these brochures, Bob, are just excellent resources for evangelism, because we live in a society today where people are more like the Greeks of Jesus' time, where, if you remember in the Bible, it says Jesus is a foolishness to the Greeks, a stumbling block to the Jews, who already had that foundational knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. But the Greeks didn't have that. They didn't believe in a creator God. So the cross was foolishness to them. So I find these creation magazines as wonderful evangelism tools, because it's a great way to get someone into a conversation, because people love to talk about origins. You know, I've been on airplanes, and I always take extra copies of these, and it's just amazing the kind of conversations you can get into, and you get people on this topic. Then, once you get them interested in the Creator God, they're more interested in hearing about who the Creator is. It's a great evangelism tool, especially if you're like me and you're not real, you know, I'm just one of those guys that's not always real comfortable just talking about Jesus. But, boy, you can get people talking about origins real easy. It's a great evangelism tool, and these kids in England are taking advantage of that.
So when you talk about the Creator, you are talking about Jesus.
Exactly.
Because he is the Creator, and he's happy to be introduced in that way. He sort of brags about it, being the Creator. And, Fred, you told me that you were reading one of these creation magazines, and it had an article about the pregnancy and the development
of the complications of, you know, the complexity of pregnancy in the whole process. And I happened to be sitting next to, coming back from a conference I was at in Salt Lake City, there's a lady sitting next to me who happened to be pregnant. And I'm not so sure that was by accident that God put her there. And here I am reading this magazine, which I've already read. I already knew what all the articles were, but I had to turn right to that page on pregnancy.
Right.
And she started looking over at me and kept kind of glancing over. And finally her husband goes, "Hey, I think my wife would be interested in reading your magazine." I'm like, "Oh, sure." And so I handed it to her, and she just loved it and ate it up. And then he started reading it. And at the end of the flight, I asked her, I said, "Please take this magazine. I've got plenty of copies." And she was like, "Oh, no, I really shouldn't. I don't want it." Well, her husband goes, "Well, I'd like to have it." So they're a great evangelism tool.
Yeah.
So many people are surprised to hear this stuff because they're not being taught this in the schools.
Yeah, and this is so professional. This is, you know, just like any sharp, four-color, glossy magazine on a magazine stand.
Oh, it's a very impressive publication. It's got a section for kids, too. In the middle of the magazine, there's always a section for kids.
Yeah, which is just wonderful. So now, could we just keep going through this magazine? Because there's an editorial by Don Batten, and it's titled Answering Life's Big Questions. And he starts out talking about Richard Dawkins, who's one of the world's best-known evolutionists. And there's a movie coming out in February that people should keep their eye out for, and it's starring Ben Stein. It's a documentary. It's going to be in the theaters, and it's called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. Like, if you're in a university and you believe in intelligent design, you're getting expelled because no intelligence allowed in the universities any longer.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's so funny. Well, evolutionist Richard Dawkins, he made a quote about the universe that is pretty much startling. But, of course, this is what atheist evolutionists believe.
Yeah, what he said was that the universe, that there is no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but pitiless indifference. And one of his disciples, Susan Blackmore, said, "If you really think about evolution and why we humans are here, you have to come to the conclusion that we are here by absolutely no reason at all."
We're here for no reason.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they say. That's convenient for their worldview because they don't want to be accountable to a creator. But we know that that's not true, that there is a creator God, and he's created us for a purpose.
And we will stand before him. Now, when Richard Dawkins says there's no design, which... how are you a scientist and you say
He will be without no excuse, according to Romans 1. God's invisible attributes are clearly seen.
That's right. And you can't describe genetics without using the terminology of engineering. And there are evolutionists who are so angry, they want to rewrite all the textbooks to get rid of all terms about systems and designs. They just hate it. They absolutely hate it. But anyway, he says there's no purpose, no evil, no good. So slaughtering Jewish women and children by the Germans, that was not evil. And helping a hungry person, a thirsty person with a glass of water, that is not good. And if this is true, then there's nothing but indifference. And so you have the young people growing up with this worldview, and they slaughter their classmates and their teachers.
That's right. I've seen, in fact, a video you have, Bob, and it's all about this moral relativism. And it was amazing watching you interview people in a college totally at random and asking them, is it absolutely wrong to violently rape and kill a woman? And these kids would admit that it wasn't wrong because they did not want to give up on their adherence to this moral relativism, which is permeating our kids.
No good, no evil, just pitiless indifference. And that video is called Get Out of the Matrix.
What a great title.
A DVD. And even the cover of the DVD is cool. You know, these you see these students sitting in their classrooms, and they're, like, morphing out of the Matrix.
And just, they really are in a Matrix. I mean, it really is it's a good analogy.
Yeah, it is. And then Brian Rohrbaugh, the president of American Right to Life, whose son Dan was murdered, you know, back at Columbine High School, Brian was interviewed by the producers of the Ben Stein movie that's coming out in February. They sent a film crew to his home, a high-definition, high-def film crew, movie cameras, and had a lengthy interview that they're considering using for this movie. Now, I don't know if, in fact, the final cut of the movie will have Brian's interview, but the point is that Eric Harris had a T-shirt on that said natural selection. And you go to the Denver Post when they publish the autopsy report on page one, and they say he had a T-shirt on. It said natural selection, and we don't know what that referred to. It might have been a video game, as though they never heard of natural selection.
Exactly. When these guys were steeped in evolutionary worldview, and, you know, they wrote a lot about evolution in their diaries, and we wonder why. When we tell kids that they're animals, why we're surprised when they behave like animals and assume everyone else is animals.
When they behave like animals, because animals will kill other animals for territorial reasons or to eat them or whatever. And so we have this crisis among young people who have no purpose. And you contrast that with what God says in creation, in Genesis, that God made us in his image, in his likeness. And so if you ask Richard Dawkins, why are we here? No reason. But Fred, what if I ask a Christian, why are we here?
Well, Revelation 4:11 says, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. He created us for his glory and to enjoy him forever. I got a saltwater aquarium in my home, and it's just so neat looking at God's creation. And I put as a plaque on it the Psalm 111, verses 4, which is one of my favorites. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered.
Wow. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for being our creator and for dying for us on the cross and being raised from the dead so we could live forever if we trust in you. Fred Williams, where does the time go? We're out of time. Can we do this again maybe next week?
Oh, definitely. I'd love to, Bob.
Real Science Friday. And the Creation Magazine, I'm going to tell you how to get that, but first tonight, Bill Jack is speaking, right, at the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship
on Holly Street. Just go to youngearth.org to get directions. Bill Jack's a great speaker. He's he's got wonderful talks on worldviews.
And that's tonight.
At 7 o'clock.
Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship, and you'll love Bill Jack's talk if you can make that tonight in the Denver area at youngearth.org. Find out the details. And if you want Creation Magazine, you could get the Bob and Your Live Science Pack or donate $50 or more, and we will get that for you as a gift. Or you could go to creationontheweb.com and get that. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great school. May God bless you.